Welcome, Spartans, to Halo TV Plus, part of Evolved, your home for Halo. I'm your host, Oren, and on Halo TV Plus, my guests and I recap Halo's original TV show, Halo the Series, and we discuss its contents and unique canon within the Silver timeline. Joining me tonight for Episode 8, Allegiance, is Joshua Kramer. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I don't know what else the fuck to say. You're home for Halo.
There you go. That's it. Get energized. This is a passionate episode. So we should match the intensity
in more ways than one. Jesus Christ.
As you know, Halo TV Plus publishes a commentary podcast episode and an analysis podcast episode each week to accompany the Halo the Series episode during the week. This is the commentary episode where, in a moment, Josh and I will watch Allegiance and discuss the events as they unfold on screen. We encourage you to watch along with us, and if you haven't watched the episode yet, I recommend that you watch it before listening, because we spoil scenes before they happen and even while they're happening. If you're all good to go and you're sticking around, go ahead and take a moment to queue up the episode while I run through some housekeeping. If you're new to the show, welcome. Halo TV Plus is part of Evolved that hosts a variety of other Halo shows like Podcast Evolved, Mission Debrief, Builds with Blocks, Halo Book Club, and Halo Headlines. Evolved also partners with the kick-ass podcast HCS Pro Talk, where Josh and Will discuss the latest information within the competitive Halo scene with an emphasis on community every week. And of course, this is Josh from that show. We had Will earlier in the series, I think for episode 4 or episode 3, one of those. So Josh, just welcome to the show, just on a personal level. Like, it's always great to interact with you and Will. Your guys' show is awesome. I love kind of catching it every few weeks when I have the time, and kind of getting my competitive digest from you guys.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Oren, and also fuck yeah, daddy.
Listeners, you can learn about each show, including HCS Pro Talk, on the website evolvedhalo.com. As Halo TV
Plus, home for Halo.
As Halo TV Plus is a new show, I ask that you rate it and leave a review. I greatly appreciate all the feedback and suggestions from you, the listener, to improve the quality of the show. We are getting near the end of the season, and so I'm very much looking forward to any suggestions on how to kind of revamp the show for like a season 2, or if we do any extended dives down the line, open to suggestions. So reach out to us, leave a review. Happy to hear the feedback from the fans. And lastly, I'd like to take a moment to thank all of our patrons for their continued support. Thank you guys so much. You guys and your contributions allow us to continue making new content like this every single week. So thank you guys so much. And if you are interested and not subscribed, our patrons receive a variety of exclusive rewards such as early episodes, unique swag, access to our podcast soundtrack, and more. And you can head over to patreon.com/haloevolved to learn more. All right. So a few episode details before we start watching. This is episode 8 of 9, only one episode after this one remaining. The synopsis is John and McKee come to terms with their shared vision. Halsey has one last chance to save her mission and herself. And as things come to an end, everyone must choose a side. The director is Jonathan Liesman, who he's directed, I think, the third and fourth episode, if I remember correctly. The runtime is 47 minutes and 57 seconds, and it originally aired on May 12th, 2022. All right. Are you ready, Josh?
Yeah, I'm ready. Halsey's a piece of shit. Are you ready?
Oh, boy. This is going to be a good episode.
I hope so.
I'm going to count us down from 5, and everyone should press play when I say play. All right?
All right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. All right. So, Josh, we're getting our last week on Halo, where it actually doesn't talk about what happened last week with Quan. So instead, going back to episode 6, where McKee is, you know, in custody, and John is going on this sort of like, you know, he's trying to learn about himself and the artifact and what him and McKee are like doing. What do you think of that episode?
I liked them both. I know we are only talking about episode, what, 6 right now? But no, I think both episodes leading into this one I liked more than previous episodes within the series so far. I'd say I like how it feels like we're building up to something bigger, which is always awesome. But as I've mentioned on our show personally, like they're just issues I have with the show overall. So basically I'm at a point now where I'm just going to watch it and I'll watch it for what it is. I'm not expecting earth-shattering television to take place. But there's that. And hey, we get to see the fucking Halo for the first time. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
I think episode 6 is probably still my favorite of the series so far. And yeah, the ending to kind of see the ring in this sort of like hyper-realistic, you know, shared brainwave sort of way, though, is pretty interesting. And it got me really excited to kind of see where the show goes. And we'll kind of talk about this and more so in our analysis episode and kind of what we think the last episode will be like. But yeah, I thought,
Warren,
it was a solid. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Can I just say I think it's really fucking stupid how he draws the Halo ring in his fucking mirror steam?
Yeah. And then it cuts to a circular mirror that McKee's looking
so
through.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Oh my like God. When I watched it, I was just like, "What? I wonder whose idea, whether it was like the production designer or the director or whoever, was like, oh, McKee should be looking at through a circular mirror." Like, it's just so. But all right. Well, jumping into this episode, so of course this is like probably moments after they had their shared vision. They were on the ring. They kind of have this awkward sort of like chemistry with each other. They're not really, because I don't think both of them know that the other one was there, and like, you know, because they know that they saw the other, but not vice versa. So Chief, I guess, is taking her on a stroll to release the tension. Like, I feel like he could have just had the conversation in her quarters, but this is Halo the rom-com now, so we gotta spice it up.
If by comedy, are we talking about like how... Never, I don't want to shit on the show too much. Never mind, I won't even say it. Never mind. Actually, fuck it, I will say it. Are we going to say comedy in the way that the show is written? Or are we saying like there's actual jokes in here? Because I don't feel like this show is funny.
No, I don't think it's comically written. I think it's more like awkward laughs. I can't really remember because I like after I watched this, I watched like another movie where I definitely really enjoyed. And so I'm having a hard time remembering what I was laughing at because I definitely was laughing at a few parts in this episode. Oh, you know what I was laughing at? I was laughing at the bits with Kai, which we'll kind of get to. But again, like, I don't know if I was supposed to be laughing at those moments, but I don't know. But we'll kind of get to that, I guess, because I kind of like that those moments. But here we are, Reach City, Planet Reach, and
Reach City.
Of all the city, like, not New Alexandria, like, it's not Capital City. Like, you could have picked so many other names, but they didn't.
No, they did not.
For what it's worth, though, I do like the like Reach Metropolis that we see here, and kind of like, you know, like the setting and stuff I think is great and all that, you know, taking the context of the scene aside and kind of like seeing the billboards flash around and like the wardrobes of like just general citizens that we'll see in a moment. Like, I really enjoyed this kind of world building that we see. And it also makes me want to, in a weird way, like, see all of that like get glassed by the Covenant, because like I now have like an attachment to the common folk, the civilians, and like I kind of want to just see the different environments that those are like kind of set in. I don't know if you've had any of that, but like the architecture, like, I don't know, I think it's, I think how they showed Reach was very interesting and engaging, and I don't know, I really like it.
No, I like it too, because we don't get to see like this type of stuff within the game, because the game is very desolate. The game is very like end of the world-esque scenario, while trying to be hopeful. So you see a lot of broken down buildings. You don't see a lot of life thriving, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we kind of see the aftermath of the Covenant. We see it after it's been destroyed and stuff exactly. Like that. We don't get to see it at its prosperous height. So, yeah. And so it's good to kind of see all that, like whatever this like cotton candy lollipop thing is. So you kind of made an exclamation right before we started about Halsey, and we did catch a little bit of Halsey before here, because of course she's been banished to her, you know, villa condo, and she's found a way to hack Cortana. So she's plotting something, and we see more of that throughout the episode. What are your kind of general thoughts about how she's kind of like portrayed in this episode?
So I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he hugely into the lore side of things, and he was talking about how the differences between Halsey in the show versus Halsey in the games. And the thing that I just don't like about Halsey in this show is that she's just so untrustworthy, where in the games you have this depiction of like the Spartans understand what they are. They understand their purpose. They understand who created them. And like there's that mutual level of respect regardless of what happened to get them to that point. In the show, it's like, no, Halsey just acts like a piece of shit who's literally only in it for herself all of the time. And I get that she's kind of being painted as this sort of villain, but also has a personal side to her. But it's just, I wish she had more redeeming qualities to make her more of a well-rounded character, because right now I don't feel she's as much of a well-rounded character as I'd like.
Yeah, I guess she is kind of one-dimensional in that sense, but she is very like passionate, and like she's willing to literally do anything and everything to reach the end that she feels that she needs to get to, and she's okay with like cutting off whatever she needs to cut off. And I kind of appreciate her for that regard, to where she'll do whatever it takes type of a mentality. And it creates opposition against people who get in her way. And I kind of liked where that was going. And kind of later in the episode, we can kind of get to. But I get what you and kind of your friend are kind of seeing, that like she doesn't really have any redeemable qualities about her. It's just that drive that she has is kind of just pulling her along and just not letting her stop.
Right. And I think if there was a better mutual understanding. Now, I understand in the context of the show, like John's learning about his past, learning about his interaction with the artifact, now with McKee, all this stuff. And then when he learns about Halsey and Halsey kidnapping him as a child and whatnot, I'm like, and he basically turns on her from the get-go. It was that moment where I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I get that Halsey's keeping things from him, but she literally kept everything from him. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but what I was told is that in other lore, that's not the case. Like, he was made aware of, him and the other Spartans were made aware of what they had to go through and the situations that were put in front of them to bring us to where they are today.
Yeah, she was fairly upfront about it. I don't think she spelled it out to a T, but she basically was like, your families have abandoned you, or we took you from your families to do this Spartan program, and like, you know, preaching to these six year olds about what's like going on, and then they all just kind of like, what? That's what my parents? And she's like, suck it up, kid. And then they just like went through the program and they kind of just forgot all about it.
Yeah, this is bigger than you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so getting to the scene we had here, I don't really have much to say about this dialogue scene where they just kind of talk, but I do want to talk about this fingernail.
Oh my God.
Thing, because like, this is the second time they've like shown it, as to like remind the audience that it's there, like we needed reminding. But like, there's no payoff. Like, she just fucking takes it off her finger in the few scenes from now, and it's like, why introduce this whole thing if you're not even going to fucking use it?
So I have gripes with the finger sword, or whatever the fuck we're going to call it. But I will say the one redeeming quality of it is that at least we understood how she got it. As in, it was an implant, like a fingernail implant. Because I was always wondering, how the fuck does she, where does that come from? How does she have that?
Yeah.
But at least we got that understanding. What I do want to talk about.
We got the confirmation. I mean, some people thought that, like, what? She just has it in her body? And it's like, no, there's probably, like, I guess some people had the assumption that what we saw was true. So, but yeah, I do agree that it is nice to kind of have that confirmation, but it's just like I was honestly rooting for her to stab Chief like so many times. I was like, come on, just fucking do it. Like, it'll be so great.
Right. Now, regarding the glassing that just took place that we saw, why the fuck isn't anyone else like doing anything about this?
This scene should have happened in like episode 2. Like we should have, like, there should have been like a distress call. We should have seen some of this glassing, and like it would have like complimented well against Chief being off on the rubble, because they're like, oh shit, well, the Covenant, they're getting more aggressive or whatever, and this is ridiculous, and our number one soldier of hope is MIA and doing his own thing. Like why on episode 8 are we like still not fully invested in the Covenant conflict, when like that's the entire crux of like OG Halo?
Seriously. Like, and I know we'll talk about it in the analysis episode as well, but like, this shit just fucking, when I saw the glassing scene, I'm like, why isn't anybody thinking to themselves, this is a big fucking deal? Everyone's like, oh, it's, what about your relationship with McKee or Mackie or whatever the fuck her name is? Like, yeah, we had a colony just glass behind us, but who gives a fuck about them? What about your relationship? Bro, what the fuck are you talking about? You literally just saw a colony get glassed in front of your face, and you're like, who gives a shit? It's fine.
Yeah. I like this callback to the Phantom.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting them to use it this episode, but I guess it might be a next episode type of a thing. But that's the Phantom from episode 1. And I'm always, I like the Spartan dynamic this episode. And kind of, and I think I've said this on a previous episode, just to kind of fill you in, that like, I'm glad that Kai also took out her inhibitor, because it just gives Vanek and Riz are kind of the stereotypical Spartans that we know from the game, and to also have Kai and Chief doing their own thing and being different and having these different viewpoints, I think gives a little bit more depth to what we see on screen. Because like, otherwise we wouldn't get a scene like this, a scene like this where Kai is just like fucking around and like lifting stuff, which shouldn't really come as a surprise for some of these Spartans. And I'm like, I'm surprised this hasn't been done sooner. But I guess it hasn't been done because they've all have their inhibitor chips in. So like, this is a side of the Spartans that like even the Marines haven't seen. And so like, I think that kind of adds a little bit of character to it, even if it doesn't really further the plot at all.
Absolutely. And I also like how we get that difference when the inhibitor chip is taken out between John and Kai, because obviously both of them are acting differently. And it kind of shows how, like, we hear Halsey talking about picking John, like, and John was the special one out of the group. Not from his strength or anything like that, but just because of who he is. And I think you get a little bit more of that between when Kai takes out her chip versus when John takes out his, and the differences between the two, how John's able to manage it better than Kai is.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's a good point. I'll say it again. I hate Dr. Halsey's lab. I think it's the worst set in the entire show. I'm like pretty impressed with every single set that they've built, but like Halsey's lab is just so bare and lacking any personality. And even though it's Miranda's lab now, like, it's just computer screens and concrete walls. Like,
wait, you're telling me that Halsey's lab, which is bland and boring, one-dimensional, you're saying that that's not like the Halsey character? Because that sounds exactly like Halsey's character.
To a degree, I suppose. But I mean, her condo in Reach has
way
more character.
Yeah, it looks way better.
It looks like an actual set. Even though it has like nondescript tchotchkes lying around, like it's still better than a concrete wall.
You're not wrong. Maybe they built this lab as like a, hey, we don't like you, so here's just like this basic bitch ass space for you to maybe do your work in, and that's all we're giving you.
Yeah. And then Miranda's on here editing in Audacity, trying to crack this code.
Oh,
which I feel like she should have cracked like 4 episodes ago.
Not only that, there's a scene that comes up later where we finally, I mean, I will, if people haven't seen it yet, I won't say it yet, but there's a scene that comes up later on in the show that I want to talk about, obviously, where the audio is finally...
We'll get to it. I mean, it's the scene. And I already put the spoiler warning in the front of it, but it's basically when she finally makes the realization that, again, I think should have happened earlier, but, you know, we can talk about it more.
Yeah, I'll save it to that point.
I really like this sergeant. This is, like, the best sergeant in the whole show, by the way.
It's like, all right, fucking, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I already forgot what was about to happen, and now I remember. Great.
John comes in, hey, I got you a book. Like, oh, shit. Thanks, bro.
This is the best book anyone's ever given to me.
And it's not even the same book.
No.
But she still has the book, doesn't she?
I think she does. I don't know if she brought it with her, but she definitely still has it. It's not like she lost it.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. I said this, like, in the very beginning, and I especially highlighted this in episode 3 when she killed everybody on the GLaDOS ship.
Which, like, was awesome, by the way. Well, you awesome. Mean the Hunter. The Hunter killed everybody, like, on the ship.
Well, yeah, that's correct. The Let Golo did. She just kind of walked and dodged the BR bullets like the Matrix. But what my big hope for this, for her as a character at the very beginning of this season, and even before we saw anything, and it was only the casting announcements, and I was like, if they're going to create a character that sympathizes with the Covenant, then they have to go like full on with it. And there can't be like a sense that she's going to now, you know, open up to humanity and like do it all. And the only exception I kind of give is that, yes, she probably has some sort of fascination to John because he's also considered a blessed one since she is. But like, I think it went just too far in this episode to where like, I don't know why they're having this romantic relationship right now.
No, they live. Like, fucking out of it, so out there. Jesus
Christ. It's just
Christ.
So, like, literally, I was watching this scene. I was like, McKee, stab him with your energy finger.
That's what I fucking thought was going to happen. The whole time, I was sitting there with my wife. The whole time we were watching this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, is it going to happen now? The music doesn't sound like it's going to happen now, but is it going to happen now? Is she going to backstab him? It has to happen at some point, and it didn't fucking happen.
I think it would have been fucking nuts if, like, after this, we get all this, you know, emotional stuff, and we're just like, oh my gosh, what is going on? But then there's a moment where she, like, wakes up next to him that we're about to get, and I was just like, dude, just do it. Because, like, if she did it, then I would be like, okay, she 100% played him the entire time, and that's great. And
right.
then he, you know, because he's John, he's Master Chief, he'll survive it somehow. But, like, oh, man, that would have just made everything just okay.
What about, what are your thoughts on Cortana watching this whole thing happen?
So, I kind of like it, but what also kind of irks me is that, like, she's completely, like, sidelined. Like, and she even says it to Halsey, where, like, John's not talking to me. And it's like, well, that hasn't really stopped you from talking before.
That's true.
Like, you know, you're watching this, like, you should like say something. Like, I don't know. I feel like there should have been more. If you're going to have Cortana watch, and I guess she does sort of like have a moment later on when Halsey initiates that, what, Zed protocol or something. But like, I don't know. It's just like, okay, you're watching. So like, now you should take some action because now you know.
Right. But clearly now's the time for McKee to make a move. Like, this
now
is
the time
right here.
Like, she should have just stabbed him in the neck. He would have woken up, grabbed her arm, and, like, broke her arm or something. The sergeant would have came in. You know, they could have done all the stuff and restrained her. I don't know. Like, they could have literally done whatever else they wanted to. Like,
see, and now we get this, like, ominous,
right now.
This ominous music. Yeah, the perfect. Ominous music coming in to be like, okay, this is the perfect opportunity for it to happen. And then the music changes again. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. So I kind of lost all hope at this point. And then I was like,
seriously?
Oh, okay. Now, great. Now she has her shirt on. And then she removes it. And I'm like, also, like, why remove it? Like, you're not going to get caught with it. Like, no one's caught it now.
Or just fuck it. If you have that trust in Chief, you guys literally fucked. If you have that trust in Chief, just show him that you have it.
Yeah, but like, does she feel guilty that she has it? I feel like this is like the moment where she's like, maybe I don't need to be with the Covenant and I could just be with Chief. But like,
oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But like, I feel like her affinity for Chief is not the same as a newfound, like, compassion for humanity. You know, because like, Chief is different than everyone else, and everyone
else
still,
she definitely
looks. You know what I mean? So, like,
oh, yeah.
If anyone, she should only trust John instead of humanity as a whole.
Right.
I feel like this is just, like, too many steps away from her character here, which is what I feared would happen. But also, I made a note where it's just, like, everything just goes down the drain. Like, all the pellets they just pushed down the drain, her finger sword she just pushed down the drain. Like, Reach's plumbing system must have just a whole bunch of cool gadgets.
Oh my god.
Expensive ones too.
Oh, very. The thing that I want to know is how did she stop the finger from bleeding?
Now she's naked again. So what? Did they have sex a second time?
No, she just took her shirt off and got back in bed.
Oh, goodness.
I want to know how she made her finger stop bleeding.
Yeah, that too.
Like, she literally tore a fucking implanted fingernail out of her finger, and that shit wouldn't stop bleeding immediately. Now, oh, fuck you, Halsey, piece of shit.
Yeah, that line was kind of like
stupid as all hell.
You don't get it.
Yep. He loves me. Oh, he fucking doesn't.
John has me. So. I already forgot what happens in this scene.
He tells her that he has a ship ready for her, right?
Oh, that's right. He like kicks her off.
Yep.
And she's trying to like play dumb. This is another relationship that I was, like, kind of excited to see, because they could go different places with it, but I think they made Keyes almost too compassionate, and then, like you were saying, Halsey's, like, just not enough compassionate. And not to say that, like, both of them should have been more in the middle, but, like, I didn't get the sense that, like, Keyes is, like, a top-tier captain in the military. And really any of these episodes, because the entire time he's been like just talking with Perrin Goski and then just trying to be the middle person between Miranda and Halsey. And it's like, oh, okay. So you're not this badass space captain like you were?
He also acts like Halsey's bitch, if I'm being completely honest.
I mean, he kind of acts like everyone. Like, I mean, he only has authority over Miranda, and he really only, like, asserts that in like, a few scenes. But, like, for the most part, yeah, he kind of is reserved and kind of turtles himself a little bit when talking with Halsey and Perangoski. And that's, like, the only... And even with Chief, like, Chief had that scene in episode 5 where, like, he's like, I want to talk to you about Halsey and all this stuff. And he's like... Yeah, of course, soldier. But, like, he still ran away. What did he do? He ran away and talked to Halsey and Perangoski about it. So.
Going back to what you were talking about the, like, redeemable qualities about the characters, about the parents here, the thing that irritates me the most is that we had that scene, it was either episode 5 or 6, where, like, Halsey is talking to Miranda, and Halsey kind of breaks down a little bit and starts crying, but it was all just a fucking, it was all just a show.
It was all a ploy.
That's the thing that irritates me, is that it feels to me as though Halsey doesn't have any motherly qualities to her. And like not one. And that I'm not just saying this coming as a parent, but like, it just irritates me that it really feels like she doesn't have any redeemable qualities to make her as a, like, just a fucking person, unless she doesn't get what she wants. But maybe that's just me, I don't know.
I mean, I too was a little disappointed when we got this little eye contact thing that we're seeing now.
Oh, I fucking irritated,
because yeah, I was like,
me.
Oh yeah, we do have this like emotional redeemable scene that then immediately just gets crushed.
Yep.
But I don't know, like, the climax Halsey has in this episode, or like rather like the moment that she's in on her ship and like wanting to do what she's going to do in a couple scenes, I liked that, like, where she was going with that and kind of where we put her, to where she almost becomes her own type of, like, villain against the other characters. Right. So, like, even though she may not have redeemable qualities and her character is less three-dimensional than you really want it to be, because you want as many characters as you can to be three-dimensional, but, like, I do like the position she puts herself in compared to the other characters and, like, the positions that they are in, because it creates more of this conflict. So I think that's going for me, and I can almost, like, put aside some of those non-redeemable qualities to kind of, like, with this scene where she's, like, trying to manipulate McKee because she thinks that her, McKee, and John can save the universe and humanity, and it drives her to do these drastic things that, you know, kind of moves the story. So I'm kind of, like, open to this side of Halsey when you compare her to, like, the games, because, like, she's making these bold choices and has a plan and is disrupting the status quo by doing it.
Right.
So I kind of like this scene because of, like, what I just said. But again, McKee, like, I would have almost preferred McKee to kind of be a little bit more on board with it, but she's kind of been, you know, in her post-lovemaking euphoria that she doesn't want to listen to Halsey, and she wants to, like, when she was like, how do I turn this off? Like, I was like, really? Like, come on.
Well, here's the thing that irritates me about this scene, too, because I like it and don't like it. I don't like it because Halsey is now, again, being manipulative. McKee not understanding that Halsey's the one that created John, that created the Master Chief. Because she's saying, oh, he's a product of the species, like, that made him, and he was used, and you were used. It's like, bitch, they fucking used because of your ass.
Yeah.
And then fucking Cortana's just standing back there like, bitch, what the fuck are you talking about? It's your fault.
I wonder if Cortana could have been a little bit more proactive if that would have changed.
I mean, there's a lot of things that could have changed that would have made things way, like, drastically different.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is the thing that I do like about this scene, though. When Halsey talks about reaching the full potential of the species, and McKee saying, like, gods and whatnot, it reminds me of, like, the whole talk about humans ascending the mantle, right?
Yeah. Well, because, like, you could almost argue that, like, Halsey and the prophets want kind of the same thing for their, you know, or, you know, the prophets want it for the whole covenant, but, like, Halsey wants it for the humanity. And it kind of plays into the whole thing with, like, Halo 1, where Chief and Cortana go to the ring and they want to try to use it as a weapon, but then Cortana's like, you have no idea what this is, do you? And
literally, like, is a weapon.
Yeah, it literally is a weapon, but it's like, it can't be used like that.
Nope,
and then, like, in Halo 2 with the Grave Mind, and he's like, this one's Great Journey, and this one's, like, Protocol or whatever he says. Like, they're the same thing. Or Contamination Protocol, like, they're the same thing. And, like, you get just that great moment where you have all these factions fighting over what they think is like their one true purpose, but it's just like the same event interpreted in different ways. And I kind of see that going a little bit in that direction with, like, Halsey wanting to get to the ring to, like, further humanity's intelligence and, like, being. And then John wants to get it to fight the Covenant, whereas McKee and the Covenant want it to complete the Great Journey. So, like, that is a good recipe for, like, conflict, and having all three of these factions, or, like, these points of view fighting over control of this ring. But, like, if all it is just people talking about it and, like, not really doing the actual fighting that, like, we get in the games and stuff, and we're almost on, you know, we're on episode 8 and we're now just starting to get some of that, like, it's just all too late and not enough payoff.
Right, and the thing that going back to that scene real quick before we move on, because obviously we're getting towards the end here, the thing that I probably like the most about McKee's character, especially in that scene, was when McKee chirped in and said, like, gods, and Halsey was like, what? And when McKee ended that transmission, because I think she had that feeling to herself, like, oh my god, are you fucking serious? I literally get away from the Covenant because you guys are going to do the exact same thing. You guys just want to be higher up and more powerful than anybody else. It's exactly what I just got away from.
But, like, I just wish that she was just truer to herself, though, and she still wanted that. Because, like, if we go back to the scene with McKee and Chief underneath the rose petals or whatever that we talked over, like, that's where she tells John what the Great Journey is. And he says, like, do you believe that? And she's like, she doesn't say yes, but, like, she basically implies yes. And then also says that, like, those who are worthy get to go on the Great Journey. And he says, what about those who are not worthy? And she says, cleansed. And it's like, yes, because that's, like, what she believes. And I feel like she could have almost seen Halsey as, like, a human equivalent to her, to where they can still, you know, pursue the Great Journey for the Covenant while not sort of, like, retreating and now want, I don't know. I feel like McKee goes from not wanting to be in the Covenant to then at the end of the episode becoming a Covenant just because she gets baton tasered. And it's just like, I just don't buy that character change. And I think it just would have been better if McKee stayed on her path, but just maybe wanted John. And maybe only Halsey after that scene, as, like, these are very few individuals that could help her, but not redeem humanity as a species.
There's a scene later on in the show. Yeah, absolutely. There's a scene later on with that baton, and I actually genuinely like that scene. Not from the pain standpoint, that's fucking stupid, but just, we'll talk about it towards the end. But I like how McKee trusts John. And John's like, you need to go find any Marine. It doesn't matter. Just go fucking find somebody. You'll be safe. Him not understanding what's going on, right? And literally, yeah. When she goes and finds somebody, it just devolves into, you're the fucking bad person. And all she only did all this because she trusts him.
That's a very good point. And yes, I like where you're going with that. And what you're, I guess I didn't think about it that hard in my first watch through.
Oh, here but, we go. Here we go.
But yeah, here's the scene you wanted to talk about. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, this is okay. What are we in? Like 30 minutes into this episode, like almost 40, and it's like now it's finally starting to like really pick up, and it just kind of leads you on a cliffhanger. Like, I feel like some of this stuff just should have happened sooner.
I agree.
Because like you get all your different characters are all in their own little places, and they're trying to do their own little thing, and it all accumulates to, you know, the climax, which is all you want with like an ensemble type of a show, is all these different characters doing their own things, and then they all come crashing together.
God, I love that line.
Perengoski's line?
Yeah. The hope for humanity or the end of everything.
I think Perengoski remains one of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
She's just very well cast. I mean, a lot of the cast, I think, is well casted, but like the way she's portrayed and the way she interacts with everyone else is true to the canon, and it's very rewarding.
And then I also love this moment as well, where McKee basically asks the same question of John as she did for Halsey. Like, what happens after this? It's like she's looking for a specific answer.
Yeah. Well, I think she's kind of testing him to a degree.
Yeah.
To like, who, you know, I trust you to X degree, but I'm also hearing, you know, other people's thoughts and opinions, like, what do I believe? And let me test your answer.
Okay, so here's my problem with this scene. And I want to know if you have an answer for me. So she goes, I want that voice crystal clear, yet it kept getting clearer and clearer as she just stood there and did nothing. Was she running something to, like, try to decode it? Or was she, like, was... literally, she just standing there doing literally nothing.
I mean, since she was away from the table, I think there was some future plugin that she put into her editing software to where she could decipher. Yeah, into her heart. Yeah, there was some future Audacity plugin that she was using that was just taking its time to normalize or whatever, to where like she barely even touched it. And yeah, she just ran away. So, like,
so she probably had to should have said something
like, she, you know what she should have said? She should have been like, export that file now and upload to whatever as she, like, ran away to
oh
where,
my
like, because obviously, like, if she can hear it and it's pretty recognizable that, like, it doesn't really need to be crystal clear if you already can make that distinction. The audience can make that distinction.
Right.
So it's probably clear enough, but. But yeah, it is a little funny because it's like, what fancy thing is she really doing if it was all automated because she was doing something else when she heard it?
Right. See, so there it is. He's like, you need to leave. Go find a Marine. It doesn't matter who. And she's like, well, fucking A. I only trust you, so fine. And now she gets screwed over because of it completely.
Yeah.
Which, no fault to her, like, it's just what it is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, a gripe I have, and I don't really know what they were trying to say, but, like why couldn't Chief just be in his armor? Like...
That'd be,
like,
too easy.
I mean, I'm one of those viewers that is generally okay with Chief walking around in his undersuit and his helmet off. Like,
yeah.
Oh, there are scenes throughout the series, or throughout the episode, that, like... I would like, yeah, you know, that could be a really cool, like, Chief moment instead of a John moment. But, like, this scene really should have been a Chief moment and not a John moment.
Oh, Chief would have annihilated both of them.
But, like, but I don't think you could go back to the point earlier where Halsey said that Chief isn't the strongest or the fastest, but it's that there's something just about him that makes him better.
Yeah.
And, like, I think if you just had him in his suit, like, he could still be double-teamed, and because they're all Spartan 2s, it's not like the Halo 5 lock-in Chief fight that was, like, shouldn't have been a thing.
We're going back to that? All right. Jesus but Christ. Like that,
but my point is that, like, you... I don't know. Just having, like, two fully armored Spartans go against Master Chief with in just the undersuit, like, I don't know. Like, I just didn't think that it was... I don't know. Maybe that's for a deeper lore person to kind of, like, look at, but... I felt that it could have been more cinematic, more fan appeasing if you just had him in his suit and he, like, put on his helmet when he told Key to, like, go away. And he could be wearing his suit to go to this artifact. Like, he doesn't need to be in his, like, you could just write it that way since he just takes it on and off willy-nilly throughout the series. But I digress. Because the suit inherently makes you stronger. Like, yes, like,
oh,
Spartans
yeah.
are just naturally strong. But, like, you know, he's... I don't know.
I do like how we finally get this kind of... like, in the books, you know, you have Cortana speaking to John more often than not. And yep. I like how she's... We finally have a scene where she's giving him combat advice and actually being that... I'm here to help you. I'm here to assist you.
Yeah, I agree. Those were nice dialogue tidbits that they added in there.
Now, the thing I don't like about this is that, like, later on, we have a moment where Cortana's like, you only have two more shots to break his shields. I'm like, how fucking yep. long does it take to recharge his shields?
Yep. Uh-huh. I had the same thought.
Like, holy shit!
Every punch that he, you know, he gives, you know, resets. Or you know what? Here's what it is. You know, Vanek kept sprinting, and he has the Halo 5 shields to where
God.
you can't recharge when you're
okay.
sprinting.
Okay. Good lord.
That's a deep lore cut there.
That was a really deep lore cut. But wait a second. Wait a second. Do shields still recharge when you're sprinting in reach?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because if you think about it, we're getting the planet glassed right now.
So yeah, the reach game is technically more, well, anything's fair game.
I have a question to ask you later on, like when we do the analysis portion. Like this
so
fucking
here's
right
a question.
Here.
Wait, what?
Yeah, go ahead. What was your question? Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, the whole thing with Riz here, where, like, Vanek's like, do it. Like, shoot the Master Chief. Like Halsey's orders weren't to, like, kill Chief, but
Thank you. Just to subdue him. Right! I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, if anything,
Literally
you should, like, EMP
thought.
Him or something.
Literally the so. Same exact thought I had.
So here's our moment, our flashback, which is good. Like, I mean, good in the sense, like you said, in the like thematics of it all, like storytelling wise, this whole sequence is a pretty straightforward like scene in movies, and emotionally it works.
Yep, I love this scene because it makes her feel as though no, humanity really is the fucking problem. And so me trying to trust John, me trying to trust humans was just a bad idea. So I'm going to revert back to what I was thinking before. He's like, fuck no, bitch, you will. Also, did you see how that sergeant or whatever, the guard, his skin basically singed off while touching McKee?
I did not notice that when she touched the artifact.
Yeah, so she touched the artifact and he and like they were still touching each other, and the power, I think, like went through her, and you can, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the skin on his face singes.
Just got like burned.
Yeah, I could be completely wrong, but I think that's what happened.
Well, the episode's over, so I'll just rewind it.
Oh my god, that's right. That literally is the end of the episode.
Since now we don't need to keep our sync with the listeners.
I'm gonna go back and watch
it. Listeners, you too can rewind it. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it literally is singeing. Yeah, like
at
45:10.
At 45 minutes.
You can see the smoke and everything.
Oh,
it's like the energy
damn.
Is transferring to him. Yeah,
damn.
Yeah. So we know that those who are not quote unquote blessed ones cannot touch, like they can touch the artifact, but literally nothing will happen to them. But apparently now we've learned that if a blessed one touches it and somebody who is not a blessed one is touching them, then the power is too great for their body.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Good eyes. Yeah, I was not looking at that side of the frame. I was looking at the other side of the frame with the artifact and McKee's face. But yeah, his face and like from under his armor was just steaming smoke. So you could assume that like the energy that went through his arm like into his body, like he's just completely burned like under his armor and stuff too.
Oh yeah, that fuck. If he's not dead, he's dead. I have literally no idea. But
if
yeah,
he ain't dead, just wait another episode.
As I say, if it's not a Game of Thrones situation, if you didn't see him die, he's not dead.
So, but man, oh man. Well, there we go. Episode 8.
Episode
in
8.
The can. There's a lot to talk about, I think. So, we will end it there. But in a general sense, this episode was just, I don't know, it was just a big mixed bag for me. Like, I guess I wanted more out of some things, and as a penultimate episode, like, it does the cliffhanger really well, but it kind of just does, everything else is just muddy. The scenes and things, in my opinion, are just muddied, disorienting, unfortunately, because I want to love this show.
I think we all want to love the show, and I'm with you as well, where it really did truly feel like a mixed bag of an episode. A lot of I would say it was all over the place is how I would describe this episode in a nutshell. There were some high points, there were some low points, there were some what the fuck points. It was just a really, like you mentioned, just a very mixed bag scenario.
The mixiest of mixed bags.
Yes.
It's the best pun I could come up with on the spot. So without further ado, let's wrap it up here. If you're interested, Paramount Plus produces a Halo After Show segment called Halo the Series Declassified that releases with each TV episode on Paramount Plus and on YouTube. This week for Allegiance, Sydney Goodman interviews Olive Gray, who portrays Dr. Miranda Keyes, and talks about her character arc over the last few over the last few episodes, as well as being the daughter of Halsey and Captain Keyes. The segment also features the 405th, the Halo cosplaying community, and talks about cosplaying in over the years and interviews a few of those cosplayers. And they also show some behind the scenes with the production designer about building the sort of Forerunner cave from episode one, as well as the artifact as a physical prop. So you can check those out now. And with that, that's basically it. Josh, thank you for joining me, and I look forward to continuing this conversation with you for the analysis episode momentarily. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for another week of Halo TV Plus. Halo the series premieres exclusively on Paramount Plus every Thursday morning at midnight U.S. Pacific time. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, you can find every episode to all of our shows that Evolve produces on our website, evolvedhalo.com. We also have a page about HCS Pro Talk for our partners over there. You can learn about their episodes and stuff. Is there anything you wanted to shout out with your show, like when you guys record? Because you guys have live shows on Twitch compared to our pre-recorded shows. Do you want to plug that at all? Josh?
Yeah, you basically already said it, but I am one half of HCS Pro Talk, your weekly Halo eSports podcast. And like Oren said, we do a live show every Monday at 7 o'clock or so PM Central Time over on twitch.tv/HCS Pro Talk, or you can just find the show on all your favorite podcast services. My personal preference is Pocket Casts. And I also want to give a shout out to Oren and the whole Podcast Evolved crew. It's great being partnered with them. And guys, if you haven't already checked out their website, you should definitely do so, because I don't know if you knew this, Oren, but it's your home for Halo.
Is it really?
Yes, in one place? I think so. All in one place. Like you said, even our show is on there. It's fucking crazy. So you should go check out that website. Check out all the content that Podcast Evolved does. They cover literally everything in the space besides the competitive scene, because that's literally what we do. So if you just want everything wrapped in a nice little bow of Halo goodness, even the bullshit that is this television show, you should go check that out. And Oren, thanks again for having me on.
Of course. It's always a pleasure to have you and Will on our shows. So thank you for joining. Once again, another special shout out to our patrons for their continued support for Evolved and making all of our shows possible. Head over to patreon.com/HaloEvolved to learn more. And finally, if you want to leave us an email or a voicemail about this week's episode of Halo the Series, you can email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 205-EVOLVED, which is 205-386-5833. And with that, everybody, I've been your host, Oren, and until next time...
Evolved.